Det 5 år siden Volcano var sist. Nå brasilianerne Norges aktuelle igjen. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og har funnet frem et intervju fra Krater I 2014. Det her Jernverket. Før vi kjører intervju har jeg en beskjed til. For at Jernverket skal overleve som podcast så trengs det midler for gratisarbeid. Det overvurdert for å se sånn. Dagligvarekjedene og mobiloperatørene de ikke spesielt interessert I å spons heavy, men det forhåpentligvis du. Så jeg vært frekk nok til å opprette en Patreon-side og en VIPs-konto. Så hvis du vil bidra med noen slanter for å holde jernverket flytende, hadde jeg satt enormt stor pris på det. Du kan donere via jernverkesiden på patreon.com eller via VIPs-nummer 567438. All informasjon står nederst I episodebeskrivelser med en lenke som fører rett til kassen på Patreon. Igjen, tusen takk for all bidragene. Jeg klarer ikke dette uten deg. Det onsdag klokka 9, og du hører på Radio Rocks og Jernverket. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, og foran oss har vi en god time med metal. For noen vekker siden var det Kraterfestival I Oslo. Der spilte blant annet brasilianske Volcano, som regnes som Sør-Amerikas første ekstrem metal-band. Jeg møtte Volcano, og de fortalte om alt fra å skaffe instrumenter I et diktatur på 80-tallet til plateselskapet som skiftet adresse og telefonnummer etter å ha gitt ut en plat med Volcano. Vi skal høre mer om det om få minutter, men først noe så sjeldent som 90-tals Black Sabbath, TV Crimes. Det som igjen av Death kommer til Oslo I mars neste år for å spille konsert. Her var originalen med Pull the Plug fra Leprosy som kom ut I 1988. Du hører på Jernverket og Radio Rocks, og I dag det Volcano fra Brasil som styrer showet. Når de startet opp I 1980 var Brasil et militær diktatur, og det var ikke bare å spille I band. Jeg møtte Volcano under Kraterfestivalen I Oslo for noen vekker siden, og fikk historien om hvordan Sør-Amerikas et første ekstrem metal-band var.
Okay, I'm always a fan of rock and roll music, heavy metal music, since 17th. So when I was 60 years old, I start to play guitar, and I start to play with a friend of mine. He's my neighbor. And we play something, some stuffs of 17th, like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath. When I was listening Motorhead, I inspired me to do a band. Oh, this is good. So we start to play with him, with a friend of mine, play some covers of Motorhead. And from now on, we start the band.
Grundlegger av Volcano og bassist I bandet Sema Rodero forteller. Men når Volcano startet opp, så var ikke de fullt så ekstrem. De var egentlig helt vanlig hard rock.
No, not so extreme, not so extreme. We play some kind of a hard rock, Brazilian hard rock. In Brazil, in that time, there was difficult to get a good instruments, to get amplifiers, good amplifiers, and so we can to play like the European bands. It's very impossible. So we play more softy, but trying to do a hard rock. I think.
Til tross for at det var vanskelig for Volcano å skaffe seg instrumenter når Brasil var et diktatur, så klarte de å fortsette som band, og vi skal høre en låt fra den første studioskiva deres, Bloody Vengeance, som kom til 1986, og visste frem virkelig hvilken retning herre skulle ta. Her titelsporet Bloody Vengeance. Fra Volcano, som kanskje var det aller første ekstrem metal-bandet I Sør-Amerika, Bloody Vengeance fra plata med samme navn, som kom ut I 1986. Du på Jernverket og Radio Rock, så jeg traff Volcano under Kraterfestivalen I Oslo for noen vekker siden. Og jeg fikk dem til å fortelle meg hvordan de gikk fra å være et vanlig hardrock-band til å bli mer og mer ekstrem.
Before, in 1983, mm-hmm. we recorded a single, 7-inch. Yeah, like in this style, hard rock. So one year after, we record a demo. A demo. What was the demo?
Devil on My Roof.
Devil on My Roof, the title of the demo. So the sound became more extreme than the 7-inch, more extreme. Mm. In 1985, we recorded a live album. So this album sounds very extreme than other ones, than previous ones. And in 1986, in 1986, I Blood Vince, but I can't explain you. It's hard to explain to you because it became so hard. I don't know. Maybe this influence or this, como falo, a vontade, will.
The will just make something
heavy.
This almost sounds like that.
So it just came to you.
Oh. Yeah, from beyond.
Yeah,
from beyond.
And in those days, the industry, the music industry, didn't pay attention to the rock, hard rock stuff.
Yeah.
And it was so difficult to release an album and all this kind of stuff. So Volcano, the first album, complete album, was an alive album, and he rent all the equipment and make it a festival and make all this possible, record the festival and print it on the vinyl. And we also were under a military dictatorship, and there were so much anger inside the youth, and I think this was one of the main power, the will to make another more aggressive sound. But it was for purpose. It's simply happened.
If you compare the first record on Push and Nama, the single from 1983, there's a lot of influences of rock and roll mixed with hard rock.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 year after, with demo Devil on My Roof, had more heavy metal influences, less influences of hard and rock and roll, more heavy metal influences, and the lyrics was more dark than before. When the first live album from 1985 was released, the songs from the demo have more powerful because it's a live appearance of the band, so you can see a lot of speed on the songs. The guys played more fast than in the studio versions. So from this live album to Bloody Vengeance, most of the songs have more speed and harsh vocals with growls, you know. So between live and Blood Vengeance, the people likes the way Volcano plays a strong music with such aggressive. And I think in Brazil in that time, most of the bands plays the heavy metal classical style, different of Volcano did.
Ifølge Volcano så var det nesten ingen som spilte ekstrem metal I Brasil på 80-tallet. Og jeg måtte nesten spørre dem hvordan folk tok imot musikken deres når de allerede I 1984 begynte å bli mer og mer ekstrem.
No. Nobody like us.
I believe the people couldn't understand what happened because Kiss and Van Halen are the most influences for all the youngest. And Volcano plays at that time brutal stuff. So I can explain better.
We were much brutal for that age, for that time.
Yeah.
So everybody don't understand what fuck this guy was did.
The reviews from Volcano were 0 to 10 was 0, so
they said that
it's a band without a note.
Morbid Angel, spesielt plukket ut av Volcano fra Brasil, Immortal Rights på Jernverket og Radio Rocks. Vi kjører et intervju med Volcano I dag, de var innom Oslo I forbindelse med Kraterfestivalen for noen vekker siden. Og det tok litt tid før de klarte å overbevise folk med den ekstreme musikken sin, for det var ikke dagligdags I Brasil på 80-tallet her. Men rundt 85 begynte å løsne, og de fikk god hjelp fra fansinene den gangen.
In 1985, when Life album was released, we conquered the people, the fans around our state, around us, okay, in Brazil, just in Brazil. But when Blood Venture was released, we conquered outside of Brazil. So for fans. Okay, they pay us more attention, so we can play gigs inside the country, not in the capital, not in this web of fan support us. Okay, and so Volcano was growing because this web of fans.
And speaking about the web. There were no internet at the time, so we really didn't realize that the youth and the people that like rock, extreme rock, will be need for another kind of sound, and that sound was being developed by. Many bands in Europe, many bands in all over the world, and Volcano in South America and in other bands at the same time. But
and the record was released by Rock Brigade Records. It was the biggest fanzine in Brazil, which the guys were trading tapes with around the world with other people. So it was like a kind of
helped.
Yeah, it helped a lot for the band.
And Rock Brigade was really on a lot of countries that speak Portuguese and Spanish. Mm. A lot of countries in the South America and Central America listen Volcano with the help of Rock Brigade Records that review our album and always.
And also trading info with people here in Europe, so the album came here more quickly to Europe through this way as well. With this tape trading and then record trading, so this was the moment that Volcano became more recognized here.
Det sa Volcano til Jernverket på Radio Rocks. Og selv om fanbasen deres I Europa begynte å vekse, særlig når de ga ut album som kom ut på kontinentet her også, så tok det en lang stund før de endelig kom hit. Jeg spurte dem når de spilte sine første konserter utenfor Brasil.
87 in Chile.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
South America, the first gig was...
The first gig,
1987. Next year, Blood Venus was released. Mm-hmm. But I think that out of South America, just 2010. Yeah. Many time after.
Wow.
The beginning of the band.
Interesting.
Just because the internet, that he discovered that many people here were listening to Volcano and contacting the band, so we couldn't think about
it. It was like a kind of intimation, you know, because Volcano did release Tales from the Black Book, and then the guy Fenris from Darktron did like a lot the album, and he runs a festival in London, Live Evo Festival. So, in the moment that he heard the album, he said, oh, Volcano must play, and then we received. Not an invite, but intimation to play there. And then was the kickstart of the first gigs in Brazil and in Europe. And this year we are going to play again at this festival.
Etter 2010 har det løsnet for Volcano I Europa som har vært tilbake hit flere gang, blant annet på Kraterfestivalen nå for bare noen vekker siden. Men albumene deres kom til Europa litt tidligere. Det var et britisk selskap som ga ut Bloody Vengeance, men da måtte de endre coveret sitt.
The company Metal Works from England released Bloody Vengeance in Europe.
With a different cover, please.
Yeah, different cover, because the original cover is a church.
Burning.
So
the priest
so not this cover.
Such blasphemy.
Yeah.
So
they changed it.
In Europe?
Yeah.
They did a different
kind of
stupid.
Yeah.
Size of them. I don't know what is. Yeah. Something like a sun.
Yeah.
Orange.
Yeah, Obsessed by Cruelty med Sodom, det Volcano fra Brasil som plukket ut musikken I jernverket på Radio Rocks I dag. Og I 1990 så hadde egentlig Volcano tenkt å gi seg, for de fikk unger og begynte å studere, og det var litt slitsomt å være band sånn egentlig. Men så fikk de et tilbud fra et europeisk plateselskap, og endte opp med å gi ut Rat Race kun I Europa.
At the time we were in university and he raising kids and all the stuff and we played so we decided let's do a break and go to the mail and pick up some letters and announce that we gonna break and when we go to the mail and receive a contract an offer from metalcore to do one record, so we realized, well,
they said the
why not? Let's do one more record just to celebrate the history and rap. And so we went to
Rat Race
to do Rat Race.
Me and Arthur joined for 2 weeks.
Very fast to compose
in my home
record
and start to compose. In two
tracks,
two weeks.
We
did songs. We did every songs and recorded
two boxes of 2 days.
But the guys from the label, as far as I know, took the recording, printed, pressed, and never talked back. I think the only two albums Zema has. It was because a friend of mine that was in Italy.
Etter
at Volcano ga ut Rat Race I 1990, så hørte de aldri fra plateselskapet igjen. De skiftet rett og slett adresse og telefonnummer, så Volcano fikk aldri tak I dem. Men det var like så greit, for da fikk de den pausen de trengte. I 1996 så tok de så vidt opp tråden igjen, og den første skiva etter pausen kom I 2004. Jeg spurte bandet hva som skilte Tales from the Black Book fra de første albumene.
I think Tales from the Black Book is a natural continuation of Bloody Vengeance for me. Between Bloody Vengeance and Tales, we did Anthropophagy very fast.
Yeah, a lot of blessing beats at that time.
Yes, the next Who Are the True and Rat Race, but when we return with Tales from the Black Book. It's the same music, same style of Bloody Vengeance, but better
produced
and recording. But it's the same
intention
of music we did together.
Yeah.
And again, without any let's do this, let's do that. Just
natural.
Natural. So many years from Britain. Let's do it. And.
Det fortalte Arthur von Barbarian, trommis I Volcano til jernverket på Radio Rocks. Og når jeg nå hadde Volcano etter sigende Sør-Amerikas sitt første ekstrem metal-band, så måtte jeg nesten høre med dem om de hadde noen snåle historier å dele. Noe som var litt Spinal Tap, rett og slett.
Well, there was a gig in Brazil when the band was with two guitars that Zema simply didn't want to go, so he did it. and the band played just with another guitar. At the time, and I found it so strange because he is the founder member.
Yeah.
People always wanted to see him. So in that day, no one could see Zemo because he simply didn't go.
Last year, during a show in Copenhagen, Arthur.
I finished a song and the crowd and I and smashed the leg and left, cut my lesions and nerves and all
the
stuff.
Then the fingers
and the fingers
the
and
blood was all over
everywhere. But I didn't realize, and Zemo starts to play another song.
Another song?
And I play six more songs, and they ended the show, and the drum kit
was all overloaded by blood.
Pure blood.
And people thinking it was part of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So I used to play drums stand, that great part of the show. And one time, during a bridge, to the solo, I stand up and began to smash the drum kit, and I didn't realize that I flipped the drum throne. So when I ended,
sitting over the
the
ground.
Was the middle of the solo, and we just
where's the drum? Where's
it? Disappeared.
Disappeared.
You fell behind the stage.
And suddenly the guys look behind, and I appear with a face. And I'm just looking audience. They love it.
Du har hørt et intervju med Vulcano som spiller på Røverstaden og Yellow Goat med Deathhammer den 19. november. Det også den siste jernverkeepisoden på en stund. Jeg har nemlig bevillet meg mammaperm, og siden jeg ikke har vikar, jeg foreløpig litt usikker på hvor lang permen blir. Men jeg skal holde deg oppdatert om status via sosiale medier, så for all del, ikke avfølg jernverket. Nå som Jernverket tar seg en liten pause, minner jeg om at det ligger 73 episoder ut allerede, så kanskje det noen du ikke har hørt enda, eller noen du har lyst til å høre igjen. Og hvis du fullstendig avhengig av stemmen min, så anbefaler jeg også Tonspod, som gikk for Tons Rock for et par år siden. Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app, eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Og hvis du kan, så det fint når du legger igjen 5-stjerners anmeldelse av jernverket der du lytter, eller mer hvis skalaen går høyere opp selvfølgelig. Det bidrar til at flere får med seg podcasten, og hvis du også har lyst til å gi litt kronasj for at jeg skal kunne fortsette med podd etter mammaperm, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Og hvordan det gjøres kan du lese nederst I episodebeskrivelsen. Husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for oppdateringer om status. Jeg kikker nok innom iblant. Og månedens utvalgte fra Katakomben som konkurranse går ut desember. Her Steinkløv, det meg, og jeg lover å fortsette med gamle og nye hardrock-intervjuer I løpet av 2020. Tusen takk for følget så langt. Vi høres om noen måneder.